Jesus everywhere I go. Jesus is all I ever will need to know. He stands beside me, he's ready to guide me everywhere I roam. He'll never leave me, he's ready to lead me home. Surrender your life, depend on him, be born again. Surrender your life, depend on him, begin again. He is your friend, sorrow and your fear. Just let him come in and he'll end all your sin and tears. Freedom to fail and freedom to fall face down at Jesus' feet. He'll pick you up and he'll make your life come. Love is patient. patient, suffering long. Where love lives, there is no fear. Now can you hear? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God.
About you, but I like reading about amazing facts or something interesting, and especially the research data, something about statistics. Yesterday I read something interesting. I don't know if you knew it. There is 10% of vegetarians in the United States, and the three top cities with vegetarians are Portland, Seattle, and San Francisco. I was so surprised. I expected Yucaipa and Loma Linda at least on the list. There was no reason I mentioned it to you. It was interesting. By the way, another thing that I read along with that yesterday, BBC in 1957 aired a program. In their program, mentioned that in Switzerland, people are growing spaghetti trees, and they were flooded with calls from people. Everybody wanted to know how to plant their own spaghetti trees, so they called BBC, and they didn't know what how to respond. They said, "Well, plant a spaghetti strip or whatever it is in the tomato sauce and hope for the best." I don't know if it worked. I don't think so. I wanted to share with you some statistics this morning about the spiritual gifts. Barna Research Center shares that 29% of all adults and 40% of baby bastards adults have never heard of spiritual gifts. 69% have heard of spiritual gifts but do not know what their spiritual gift is. 1% of adults and 9% of senior pastors claim they have the gift of evangelism. 1% of adults and 6% of senior pastors claim they have the gift of leadership. The most common gift claimed by churchgoers is the gift of teaching, 5%. The most common items mentioned as spiritual gifts, which are not really biblical gifts, are love, kindness, relationships, singing, and listening. Remember, listening. 7% say they have spoken in tongues. 13% have heard of the gift of tongues, but say it is not operative today. We all admire certain heroes in our lives from different areas. And this is one of the examples of sports. We admire the skills and strength and persistence of certain people that they can do it. We have special respect and admiration of musicians, artists, writers, and actors that can reenact the reality of life in different ways that we can enjoy it and probably benefit from it once in a while. We feel envy for different CEOs, for people who have good brains that can come up with some good ideas that can benefit from it, and also they can invent something for the benefit of the society. And a lot of times we think, how couldn't I come up with this idea? And we have special awe and respect for the science, and people who can figure out things in the environment and now nature around us that can really work for us and be a benefit of us in different areas. And we think, we feel so inadequate that we are not as great as others. However, all of us have different and several gifts. We have natural talents that God gave us, and it's at least one spiritual gift that every one of us has from God. All gifts and talents are entrusted to us by God. Some gifts may not appear to be important, although can be more crucial than the spectacular ones. God has given us time, material possessions, and our body, but also talents and gifts. Every good and perfect gift, James says, is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. And they are for our usage, to be used according to the principles of stewardship. They are not ours, they originated with God, but God gave us to give them to us so that we would use it for his cause, but also for the common good. People possess natural gifts, whether they are believers or unbelievers. The Bible mentions some categories like craftsmen, musicians, or poets. Natural gifts can be enhanced and can also become spiritual gifts. The Bible mentions Bezalel and Oholiab as the craftsmen responsible for building the tabernacle in Exodus. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you." Prerequisites for receiving spiritual gifts are repentance, receiving the Holy Spirit, and being baptized. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Spiritual gifts come from God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Paul in Corinthians says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. There is a long list of spiritual gifts in the New Testament, and 1 Corinthians 12 is one of the places. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. Paul confirms similar gifts also in the same chapter, verse 28, and God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers. And then later on, he continues, then miracles and gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. And here in Ephesians, he adds two more, evangelists and pastors. Some of these spiritual gifts are more spectacular than others. You know, these great gifts like healing, working miracles, speaking in different tongues, or prophesying. But then there are others, speaking wisdom of knowledge, teaching, having discernment, gift of service, exhortation, helping, charity, performing acts of mercy. Some look similar to natural gifts, while others are clearly supernatural. Yet all of them come directly from God. Some gifts are related to leadership, like apostles, teachers, pastors, while others are not. But all gifts are needed. And Paul is trying to use the illustration of the human body in order to prove his point that all the gifts that we have, different gifts, are important. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many, he says. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all of one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. There is a distinction also between gifts and commission. For example, all believers are commissioned to go and make the disciples. Jesus said in Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But not all of us have the gift of evangelism. All believers are called to be hospitable. Paul encourages Romans, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. But apparently, some people have a specific gift of hospitality. It can be different. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, Peter says. I guess we can probably realize and have the right gift, but with the wrong spirit. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, Peter says. While the Holy Spirit may determine to use some gifts more abundantly in certain areas, those gifts that our predecessors experienced in the first century had not ceased. In fact, they seemed to be needed till Christ's second coming. And Paul says to Ephesians, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It is important to do the will of God. Even miracles sometimes may not be evidence that divine power has been in operation. Jesus warned us that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. We sometimes get excited about someone else's spiritual gift more than about our own. But in reality, the less visible gifts can be more important in God's sight. A family gathered for the Christmas celebration, and they had it was an extended family with uncles and aunts and cousins and grandparents and nephews and nieces. There were a lot of presents to share with each other. And of course, some gifts and boxes were mixed up. And when little TJ, 5-year-old TJ, received his box with father saying, I really thought that you could use this gift, he got really excited. But when he opened it, this is what he got, a hatchet. Well, it was intended for grandpa to cut the wood at the campsite. But boy, did little TJ got excited about this gift, someone else's perfect gift. So sometimes the gifts don't fit our nature or our personality, or we don't fit certain gifts. We can desire specific spiritual gifts, but the Holy Spirit decides which gifts to grant to us. Paul says all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each other, to each one, just as he determines. The gifts have certain purpose. They are given for the benefit of various individuals, as well as for the entire church and the completion of its mission. Now to each, Paul says, each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We might sometimes feel weak or not significant. But I would like to use the illustration of a snowflake. Just imagine, just one snowflake, so frail, and some of them even expire before they reach the ground. And we sometimes might feel that way. However, when enough of them stick together, they can block the traffic. And some, you probably know the fact that not two of them are the same, of the same kind. Every snowflake is different. That's also about us and our gifts. We are different. However, a lone Christian has little impact on the world, but when two or three are gathered together, the scripture tells us that we can feel the presence of God among us. When the diverse gifts of the individual members of a local church cooperate together, the body of Christ can resist the evil influence and make a difference in the world. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as a faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, Peter says. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Such gifts as gift of tongues or the gift of evangelism and others can be directed to mission outreach. And in Acts 2, we have a description of the event of the Pentecost when all the disciples got together in one place, and they have received, as they were in unity, they received the Holy Spirit that was needed for that time, because there were a lot of visitors from different countries, but all of them heard the message on their own language, in their own language. And the story tells us, I'm skipping it, the result of that gift, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. With a gift comes the task of responsibility. Using our gifts for the benefit of others, we are being personally blessed also. And Jesus gives us an example in the parable in Matthew 25. In the parable of the talents, he talks about the master who called his workers and gave them a task. He gave them a certain amount of resources also. To one, he gave 5 talents of gold, to another 2, and another 1. And the first one put his money to work. He invested his 5 talents, and when his master came back, he was able to present him with the profit of another 5 talents. The one who had 2 also worked hard, and he was able to present another 2 as a profit to his master. And his master was pleased with them. The master was pleased with them, and he told them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter your master's happiness or share your master's happiness. But the last one with the one talent didn't do anything, didn't make any effort. He went and dug it into the ground. And when the master came back, he brought the same talent that he received. And his master was not pleased with that worker. In fact, besides just taking away what he had from him, that worker was punished. And Jesus says, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. God expects us to use the gifts that he gives us for his cause and also for our benefit, for the mutual cause. Spiritual gifts are given so that God may be glorified. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God, Peter says. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. There is a story about the great orchestra conductor, Sir Michael Costa. When at one of the rehearsals, when they had an orchestra and a big choir joining the orchestra for the performance, during the rehearsal, at some point right in the middle of the piece, the piccolo player decided to stop for some reason. But the orchestra conductor noticed it. And in the moment, he stopped the orchestra, and he says, "What happened to piccolo? Where's piccolo?" You know, sometimes I'm surprised that out of so many different sounds and such a big noise, he was able to detect the missing of one small instrument in the orchestra. We sometimes feel inadequate. Sometimes we feel that we are not appreciated, we are not noticed, that we are insignificant in our ministry, in using our gifts. But I want to encourage you this morning that our great conductor notices you, and he needs you to finish and complete his great masterpiece, which is salvation of his creation. So this morning, the scripture encourages us, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. My appeal to you this morning is to make an effort to find out which gift you have received from the Lord. What do you have that the Lord expects you to use for his cause and for the benefit of one another? And maybe with the help of God, we can use not only our natural talents that we all possess, but also our spiritual gifts that were given to us to make a difference in our local community here, but also in the world at large. Heavenly Father, this morning we express our gratitude for all the natural gifts that you've given us, but also the ones that you turned into the spiritual gifts. And Lord, you entrusted us with so much talent to use it for your cause and for mutual edification. And we pray that you would give us, first of all, the sense of recognition and be able to figure out what exactly we have to share with one another. And we pray that you would give us strength and ability to enhance our spiritual gifts and our natural gifts, to use them for your service, for the benefit of each other, but also to bring even more people to you, as you instructed us and as you commissioned us to save more for your kingdom. Be with us as we go different ways this morning, and keep us in your loving hands as we minister to one another and give glory to you, our Savior and friend and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.